Hello, everyone, and welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today I got my special guest, my brother Hunter, and we'll be discussing Dracula from 1931 in Spanish. So without further ado, let's bring on our special guest. What's up, Hunter?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm a little sad.
Why are you sad?
I have this Jesus statue on my desk, and I smacked it with my iPad just now. And it fell, and his hand broke off. I feel like I should put that in my pocket. Because, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands.
And so if he's in your pocket, are you his world?
I'm the whole world, man.
You got his whole hand in your pants, and he's got the whole world on his hands.
This is so convoluted.
Anyways, well, let's get started talking about Dracula Español. This was your first time watching it, right, Hunter?
Yeah, so I didn't even watch the original first. I mean, they're the same thing, but I didn't watch the original first. I watched the Spanish version first, and I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sometimes hard to follow along, even with the sub. Do we have subtitles? I don't think we had subtitles.
I think we had Spanish subtitles on. Mm. No, we didn't have any subtitles.
Yeah,
that's why it was hard to follow, because sometimes that, I mean, we're not native speakers, so just certain things were hard to pick up.
Right, because we both speak it as a second language. So it's a little challenging, I would say. Well, and we can now get started talking about some details about the film. So apparently, according to IMDb, you know, a very trustworthy resource, the only surviving print of this film was missing several minutes worth of material, and that included Renfield's seduction by the brides. And apparently it's a lot different in the Spanish versus the English. It was located in Cuba, and it's very, you know, rough looking. I don't know if you remember that scene or not, but yeah, I guess that's been missing for many, many years.
I don't remember. Is that the Spanish version specifically or just Dracula in general?
Well, Dracula in general has that scene, but this Spanish one was missing that for many, many years, and they've restored it. And I guess it's a little different from the English-speaking one.
Okay. Is that when it got, it just randomly dropped in quality?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that.
It looks like a, it's like 35 millimeter, then all of a sudden, scratch it. Yeah. Yeah. It was around that moment. As you know, the film was filmed the same time as the English one. So they filmed, the English filmed in the day, Spanish filmed at night, but used the same set pieces. I think even the same costumes for the most part. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Though there was one specific change with the costumes. If you remember the interview with that lady.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. At the very beginning.
Yeah. She said that the American actress had a lot more modest of a dress, but when she came to the set, they gave her a little bit more revealing clothing, which I think is so interesting. I think, is that because the target audience in the US would have been very like closed off to
more open?
Closed off to more open.
You know, I've wondered that, but technically this is before the Hays Code era, because that's when a lot of the restrictions in movies came about. This is before that, so I'm really not sure why they were different.
That's interesting. But yeah.
Yeah, but I forgot about that. Yeah, if you get the DVD of this that's in the Dracula collection, it has a little intro with an actress who played the, oh, what's her character's name? Eva or something like that? I think so. She's the main girl in the movie who kind of turns into a vampire a little bit. But yeah. And then one more detail. The director, his name is George Melford, who's a pretty famous silent film director. He did The Sheik, a couple others. He didn't understand or speak a lick of Spanish. He's like, I think that sounded right. Let's go to the next scene. So I imagine, I don't know if they had a translator or anything on set for him, but I imagine it must have been very difficult, him not knowing anything about Spanish.
Yeah. Huh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So do you know about why they chose to shoot only Spanish or? Yeah.
Meaning like why they did it in Spanish or what?
Yeah. And like not any other language. And they specifically did it like the same day they were shooting one. Like they just like remade the whole movie, but in Spanish.
Yeah. As far as I know, and I haven't studied too much into it, I think they're trying to attract more of a wide audience, more international, because before they would just translate the title cards, which was really easy to do. But this was a new way of trying to bring in more audiences by bringing in actors that spoke Spanish, looked Spanish, to try to appeal to more people. Because sound was relatively new, so they wanted to test it out and call it up.
Right. So when are we seeing the first movies that are sound?
The first wildly successful one would be The Jazz Singer, and that was 1928. This is 1931, so 3 years later.
Okay. Because was not Metropolis from a similar time? Wasn't it like 27?
27, yeah. And that's actually why it failed, because when it came to the U.S., it was in 1928. And so they already had Jazz Singer. People kind of moved on from the silent era, like, immediately.
Wow. Well, I would for sure. I love movies with sound. Read
them. Who reads? I need the talking. Yeah, but it's just crazy, though. Like, the more you study about how quickly all the studios hopped on board, it kind of makes you think about how nowadays, you know, we have AI coming out and all these different technologies. Very, very similar thing.
Yeah. Wonder how fast of a change we'll see then.
No.
Give it 3 years, man.
Yeah, give it 3 years. Mark my word. We'll see some AI films. We'll see more streaming services. Like, it's going to change real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to go back to reading.
Right, we're all reading again. We have all the subtitles on.
It's funny, I literally just said who reads, and now I'm admitting to the fact that I do a lot of reading.
Well, I just read comic books. I don't read books. Not entirely true. Anyways, so was there anything you found interesting or any behind-the-scenes details as well?
I didn't do any research into behind the scenes. I forgot about that. As I'm reading this, we didn't do that in the last two movies. Sorry.
I know. I've been forgetting to add that section. So sorry, there's no consistency, everyone. But yeah, I think I'll add one more thing. Just initially, when you saw the English one versus this one, was there anything you really noticed drastically different?
So I think the tone was a little different, and that might be language barrier as well. But when we watched Spanish, I kind of took it a little more seriously. It felt a little more, I could be totally wrong. Could just be because I'm dumb, but it felt a little more serious. The way lines were delivered, the way they talked about certain things didn't seem kind of silly. And then when I watched the English version, actually, I don't know. There's something about the style of the acting, or I don't know, that just kind of, when I watched it in Spanish, it felt more profound. And I think that's just because I barely know how to speak Spanish. So when I like understand, I'm like, oh, I understand. But I realized it had some, it still had some like old movie isms, like especially when Van Helsing comes on and they have all these kind of talky scenes of like these old guys. Yeah, but like they're like the good guys, like a group of old guys I don't really relate to, but I started to realize how that it was getting a little like almost fantastical, and kind of left the more grim feeling that I thought I was recognizing.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I could totally see that. I actually agree with that a little bit, that these actors, the Spanish ones, seemed a lot more, I wouldn't say professional. It's definitely a different style, though. Mm-hmm. Like the English ones, it feels more like, well, more like vaudeville or more of the fantastical like stage plays versus like really good acting that we see now.
Right.
I kind of felt the Spanish one felt a little bit more modern. But again, yeah, it could be language barrier too, but right, it just seemed that way.
Maybe part of it too was because we did struggle. There were certain scenes, especially the opening scene, where like there's like all these other loud noises, so it was hard to pick up what people were saying. Mm-hmm. Kind of made you sit back a little bit and experience more of the visuals. So I think the first time watching in Spanish, even though the visuals are almost exactly the same, they're shot for shot like the same. Even the stage direction was the same. Like they had him walk to here, whatever.
Right.
Like it kind of made me focus a little bit more on just what I was seeing and not a ton on like what people were saying. And maybe we get into that when we come to cinematography and special effects, but or into directing as well. But there's something interesting about kind of the like stage work that was going on that I think was more apparent to me in the Spanish version, just because I understood a lot of it, but there was definitely times where I was like, don't know what he said, don't know who Van Helsing is, where are we right now?
And I felt what's going on? Right, you did. That was pretty funny. Okay, well, cool. Well, let's get right into the plot then. What are your overall thoughts on the plot on a scale of 1 to 5?
So just to hit the number right off the top. Wait, I guess I didn't think about the number for plot. I thought about the number for everything else. But I'm going to give the plot a solid 4.5. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a little weird that I've never read the book, to be honest. So
I haven't either.
I thought it was kind of funny that the premise was Renfield.
Yeah, Renfield
is traveling to Transylvania to sell property in England, and he gets there, and then they travel together to England, and then Dracula. I almost said Voldemort. Voldemort's like abracadabra, and he starts getting hoes.
Pretty much.
Like, what? So okay, maybe the plot's not that great, but I don't actually like the pacing of the movie. I thought was actually pretty good.
Mm.
And they did so when we watched Alucard, that Dracula movie.
Oh yes, oh, Son of Dracula.
The way they're like the way exposition worked in that movie was like we're like Alucard, who's Alucard? And then also this guy's like, oh, that kind of is like Dracula backwards. By the way, Dracula was this vampire from a village, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, all right. And I feel like this movie had a little bit of that with like the Van Helsing scenes.
Mm.
But the way that he kind of, he was like trying to look like he was like figuring out his like suspicions about a vampire. Like he actually had to convince the group. Then you have the weird mirror scene. But
yeah.
I don't know. I thought I liked all of that, actually. I thought the pacing was good. I didn't think it was too explaining. I think it, you just kind of watching things happen. It was good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I gave it a 5 out of 5. Mainly because, yeah, it's exactly the same as the English. I was expecting that. But just for some reason, I liked it more here. And maybe it's just because it's in another language. It feels a little bit more foreign, a little bit more different and unique. And I think too, just the pacing of it, like you were saying, I really, really liked here. It is exactly the same as the English, but I don't know what it is, just for some reason it resonated a lot more with me in this version of the film. Because in my original review, I gave the plot a 4, but for some reason when I saw it this time around, I loved it even more, but in Spanish. So who knows why, but yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts on the acting?
So I feel like my thoughts were kind of corroded by you, because you had, like, while we were watching it, you explained certain performances that you enjoyed way more in the English version. So then I was kind of like, oh, yeah, this probably isn't that good. And then I watched the English version, I was like, oh, dang, he was right. Like, this guy was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Renfield in the Spanish version. He's fine. He was good. I thought everyone was really good. I even liked Dracula. Like, I thought they were all good. But there's something, I think part of it is there's something so iconic about, what's his name?
Bela Lugosi.
Yes. you're so used to seeing his face and mm-hmm. his hands and his, like, he is so associated with Dracula
yeah. that
the other actor was great, but he just can't, he can't beat the icon. And that's
yeah.
maybe a little unfair to say, because, like, surely the English one was much more widely distributed and known. And I mean, not everybody speaks Spanish, so who likes
right.
Dracula?
So. Right. To be fair, maybe, though, I was just going to say, he looks exactly like Bela Lugosi, though, to be fair.
They do look very similar. Though, in that interview with the one female actress, she mentioned, and I thought this was funny, it stuck out to me watching the movie and then watching the Bela Lugosi version, where she was like, he couldn't quite get the hands.
Mm.
And it's true. Because he, you know, the introduction to Dracula, when he wakes up, is his hands come out of his coffin. And he does that weird kind of like floaty thing. And that's like, it's just instantly associated with Dracula since then. And he does a good job, but it's not the same. But yeah. But across the board, I like the acting. I thought the movie was severely lacking a little child actor like from Frankenstein.
Mm.
That was like kind of corny and like getting his lines in and moving on. No, not really. I didn't think it was lacking that, but it would be. I miss my boy. I need more silly child actors.
Yes, the son of Frankenstein.
Yeah. But so acting, honestly, I'll give it a 5. Because it holds its own. Maybe that's another point. Though Renfield wasn't as good as Renfield in the English version, that Dracula can't quite get the hands. Everyone did such a great job. Like, if you only had the Spanish version, you'd still think it was a great movie. Even next to their acting. And actually, maybe we touched this already a little bit, but I liked kind of the delivery a little bit more of some of the Spanish actors. Like in the opening scene, when Renfield shows up and he's like, oh, I'm heading on. Like, it's about to be nighttime. Like, you shouldn't go out. Like, even those townspeople, their delivery is just different. There's just something about the form, their method of acting that was set apart from kind of like the English actors are very, it feels like you're watching actors, whereas I felt like the Spanish was a little more authentic. I don't know.
Yeah. Especially like the shopkeeper, right? Or the innkeeper or something. Yeah. Yeah. I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I won't completely disagree with you here. I actually gave it a 3 out of 5. Just because, man, I was so disappointed with the Renfield in this film, because Dwight Frye, he's like off the rails crazy in the English one, and yeah. I just felt the Spanish guy, he was trying really hard, you could tell, but he just didn't have the crazy eyes that Dwight Frye had, especially when he's like in the cellar, he's like, I need flies, a spider, all that.
Yeah, weird stuff. Yeah, love that. One of my favorite shots in the whole movie is they open it up and it's all dark. And you just see his face peering through. But that's right. Because, yeah, I remember the Spanish guy. Great, but it's like, that's true. It didn't feel like as natural as the other Renfield.
Right. And not as a drastic difference either. Because Renfield in the English starts out, you know, kind of normal dude. But once he's going crazy, he's like crazy. He's way different by the end of it. Mm-hmm. He just seemed pretty much the same with this Spanish actor.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Pablo Alvarez. Let's see. Another reason, I mean, like you were saying, Bela Lugosi, no comparison at all, man. Like, look, this Carlos Villarías, he did fine, but it's just so iconic with Bela Lugosi. Like, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Even the scene where he's like holding the candelabra, he's like, I am Dracula. Like,
yeah.
It was not the same in the Spanish one.
You're undermining everything I said, Harrison.
That's my jab. but I actually did like the Van Helsing actor a little bit more here, because the English one, I don't know. He seems a little too old for me. I think he should have been a little bit younger. This guy seemed probably like, I don't know, mid-40s, mid-50s in the Spanish one. But the English one, he looks like he's 85 years old. You know, looks like old grandpa. Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot about him.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, so that's why I was a little like, yeah, with Van Helsing in the English one. Was he just this like really old white haired dude?
He's like, we got to find the vampire.
Yeah. We've got to find. Yeah. I forgot about that.
He has a walker. We got to kill the vampire. You know?
Yeah.
No, the other guy, he seemed seasoned, but he didn't seem like a senile old man, you know? I like the Spanish one a little bit more.
Good point.
Yeah. Let's see. Other than that, I actually like the actors for, I don't remember their names, but it's the Eve girl, who's the one who does the introduction in this movie, and her love interest, I think Michael or Miguel. Maybe it's Miguel in this, but I like them a lot more in this one for some reason. I felt like they had a much better relationship and it was a little bit more realistic.
Lupita Tovar.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought their relationship was a bit more realistic because in the English one, it's like the cheesy, you know, pulpy like, romance.
Yeah. She's like, oh, did you see him? Like,
I love him so much or whatever she says. But yeah, no, I like them more in this. But reason why I'm giving it a 3 is because of Dracula and Renfield. They were a little disappointing.
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts on the directing?
So, well, one, it's quite an interesting feat to be present all day filming your movie and then refilming it shot for shot all night and then starting over every day.
So, well, it's actually a different director for both.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You didn't say that at the beginning.
I didn't.
But they come off so similar. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, this guy, his name is George Melford. And then the original one, his name is Todd Browning. He did the English.
Oh, you're right. You did say that. Okay. But he didn't speak any Spanish.
No, it's insane.
That was the same director. I was so confused on how he pulled that off. All right. But that being said, just because I like this movie a lot, I'm going to give it a 5.
Yes.
Think about the language barrier. Well, I'm sure most of the actors or some of the actors spoke English as well. So,
I think so. A lot of them were probably from Spain. Like a lot of them, none of them looked Mexican for the most part.
So I think, but even still, he got what he could. Maybe that's what happened with Renfield, is he couldn't quite connect.
Yeah. But I wonder, they must have seen the dailies from the English one, right? Like they must have, or they were present or something, right?
Yeah.
Like just how did they get it almost exactly the same?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not like they had viewfinders or computers to look at it. They had to look at it in a little, whatever they call it, like a little projector thing, you know? Like how did they do that?
No estoy seguro.
Yep. I'm not either. I'm not sure either. But you gave it a 5, right?
Yeah, I gave it a 5, man. I like this movie. It's a 5.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to disagree. I gave it a 5 because George Melford, you know, looking at his filmography, the really only notable one would be The Sheik. And I reviewed that one last year, the year before. I did not like that movie. But he's not really known for a whole lot of famous movies, but he did really good copying Todd Browning. Like, it's amazing. How did they do that? I'm just still blown away by it. Like, I can't imagine how difficult that must have been. Even if you have the same script, it's not like you could get everything exactly the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible to me what they're able to do.
Yeah, there's just so many iconic images from the English Dracula that, like, there's just so many very specific black and white images where they were really playing with color. They're really playing with what you could and couldn't see. There must have been tons of planning and tons of
been, right?
Right? Because the sets are crazy. I guess we'll, yeah, whatever. We can talk about that right now. It doesn't matter. Like, the sets are incredible. And that's what his castle. The castle's great. The rest are fine. It's like the normal. But Dracula's castle is great. And it's like, there's just, I don't know. There's just all these, like, just like the open, like his hands coming out of the coffin and like him turning to the camera with such a strong expression. And then having the other actor, what's his name? Carlos Valladares?
Carlos Valladares.
Valladares. Valladares. I think it's Valladares. But anyways, doesn't matter.
Most important.
He does the same things. Like he's even positioning his hands in similar ways. So like there has to have been tons of communication among them.
Yeah.
So do you think that would mean like Bela Lugosi was doing a lot of, and like the English cast was doing a lot of the inventing while they were filming, or while they were rehearsing or whatever? Yeah. Because I guess you wouldn't be able to do multiple takes necessarily. So while rehearsing, they're like, wow, that looks great. Let's do that. Hmm. And then they would later tell the crew of the Spanish film or something. I don't know why we're trying to figure out the logistics. Yeah. We didn't look it up, so we don't know.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's widely known because this version of the movie hasn't been completed. I think it's until like the 70s. So it's only been recently that we've even had the full version of it. It was considered an incomplete or even a lost movie for a while. Who knows, man? It's just incredible the feat that they were able to accomplish with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the English one is amazing all on its own. But the fact they could do it again, mm-hmm. it's just amazing to me. Mm-hmm. So, since we're pretty much talking about it, let's move on to cinematography and special effects. What are your thoughts on that?
5. It's a 5. It's, of all the films we've seen so far, I've seen with you, this was the best. Cinematography-wise, it was the best. Even the mirror scene, and they're doing this whole thing where you're watching the conversation, you look in the mirror, and you don't see Dracula, and then he's like angling it to show the other guys and whatever. Like, it's just like, that was all awesome. It was good.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to disagree. I also gave it a 5. You know, our mom was saying this while we were watching it. Each of these scenes could be a painting. And I really agree with that. It's beautifully shot. And I did wonder watching this, you know, if they did use some of the footage from the English, like when it's an exterior of the castle or when it's a carriage, you know, we don't see people's faces. Because it was amazing. Once again, I don't know, but...
I'm sure they did. I don't think they would have reshot those.
You'd think, right? I wouldn't do that. It'd be a waste of money, but... Who knows? I think they were wildly successful in accomplishing a very difficult task. I just can't imagine how insane it would have been. Like, no, you have to do it exactly like this. You cannot change it at all because we have to do it. And, you know, there aren't too many other movies, to my knowledge, that did this. It was not a widely done practice. Is it? Pretty unique to, pretty sure just to Universal, maybe one other studio. Because I was trying to find other ones, and the only other one, I think it was the Isle of Dark Souls or something like that. Lost Souls. Mm-hmm. Or the Cat People, one of those two movies. They're pretty similar. But they didn't do it that much, and I'm pretty sure this was the last time that they ever did it. Because it's just got to be so time-consuming and difficult to do. Mm-hmm. It was incredible.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Amen. Did you give it a 5?
I did, yes. Because, I mean, how could you not, you know?
Yeah. You got coffins in the basement and the dirt. You have this opening massive staircase that he walks down.
Oh, yeah.
He introduces himself. He's holding, it's just like.
But the gondola.
It's good.
All right.
And the scenes with the, one of my favorite images, too, is the three brides waiting outside. When they're like preparing for Renfield to get drunk, I guess, I don't know, drugged. They're stark white dresses with these dark, like unsettling backgrounds. Just like great imagery. Movies cast some great imagery.
Yeah. If you're a fan of German Expressionism, this is a very good example of that brought to the US. And German Expressionism is movies like Metropolis, movies like, what's it called? Dr. Caligari. That's probably the most famous example, but it's really cool they were able to incorporate that in the US. I think it looked amazing.
So, Tim Burton artwork.
Yes.
Some of his crayon drawings is that.
Yes, 100%. He's definitely inspired by that. Yep. All right. Let's move on to music. What are your thoughts on the music?
Well, seeing as they used the music in multiple movies afterwards, it must have been pretty dang good. I love it. I think it's instantly recognizable. It's easy to follow. It's the first time I watched one of these movies where I actually tried to listen to music. I was like, oh, I've already heard the song before. I dig it.
Yeah. All right. Well, for me, I gave the music a 3 out of 5. And, you know, the last time I saw it, the English one, I gave it a 4.5 because I love that song. I think it's by Tchaikovsky, I want to say. But at any rate, I just thought this could use a little bit more, especially in the scenes when Dracula's dying and, you know, being impaled. I think that could have used some like bom bom bom, like, you know, scary music there. I thought it was a little lacking.
Okay. Fair point.
Yeah.
I'm giving the whole movie a 5. My overall score is a 5. So everything's gonna be a 5 to make sure it averages out to 5.
Well, there you go. So then I don't have to ask what your final score is, but yeah, would you recommend this movie then?
I would recommend this movie. But, well, caveat, you speak Spanish.
Right.
I think this is also my review of the English version because I wasn't there for your English review. And I would, if you only speak English, watch the English version. If you want to take part in cinema history, watch the Spanish version. And honestly, if you don't speak English, it gives you an opportunity to enjoy the visuals and understand them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just sitting and watching as if it were a silent film.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, my final scores are 4 out of 5. That's still really, really good. I would also recommend it, especially like you're saying, if you're a film historian and you want to see a very rare thing that has never happened again, to my knowledge, where you have an English and a Spanish version of the exact same movie. Because nowadays we just do subtitles or we do like a voice recording, you know, or voice dubbing rather. So this is a very unique piece of film history. And I highly recommend checking it out. If you buy the Universal Monster box set, like the one I have, it includes it in it. It's in a lot of the Dracula 1931 behind the scenes or whatever. They have it usually. So yeah, I highly recommend it. But again, like you said, if you don't speak Spanish, maybe a little difficult. I recommend watching the English first and then comparing it to the Spanish and it being like, wow, this is really, really interesting how they're able to do both at the same time. So,
yeah. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on, Hunter. Any last thoughts before we go?
No. I thought the movie was beautiful. I think the main call to me was the visuals. So that's why I give everything a 5, even though maybe it wasn't that good. And everything I said was undermined quite easily and effortlessly by you, Harrison. But I don't know why I'm taking on this persona today, you know, that I'm confident and whatever.
It's just because I exude confidence.
Confidence, like Dracula. It's just
Dracula.
It's within me. And all the ladies love me.
He's right there in the background. Dracula. It's hard to see. I need to figure out the lighting so people could see it better. But yeah, I have a Dracula poster.
Very nice. No, those are my closing thoughts. Great movie. Loved it.
Nice. Well, I won't disagree, man. There's a reason why Dracula is in my, I think it's top 10, top 20. It's one of my favorite movies ever. It's really, really good. And I really enjoyed seeing it in Spanish as well.
Very good.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. Anything? Well, you don't really have a channel, but anything you want to plug before we go?
I've plugged a few things since I've been here. Not really. I'm just living life. I know I'm wearing a Harvard hat. I don't attend Harvard. I just have a hat for Harvard. That's my work hat. I work in tenant improvement contracting. It's a great job. Just look. Nice. If you want to read my reviews, I have not written my Ninja Turtles review. Oh, I was going to ask. Have you heard anything about the new Dracula, The Last Voyage of the Demeter movie?
Oh, I've heard people liking it. I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard good things about
it. Yeah, I've heard good things about it. But there's something so, like, okay, in this movie, I guess I'm going to talk about it really quick.
No, that's fine.
When those guys, they're, like, talking, and, like, they're, like, the whole crew's dead or whatever, and then they open the thing, and Renfield is just there. Like, something a movie I would love to see, which isn't this new one, though I've heard really good reviews about this new one. Maybe I'll check it out. I don't know. I don't want to watch a monster like eat a bunch of people, but
yeah.
Unless his name is Alucard, then I'm all for it. But imagine the movie they could make with a more aware Dracula monster and a Renfield running around.
Yeah.
I would love to see that movie, and I'd love to see it end with this, the exact scene, line for line, shot for shot from this Dracula film, where the guys at the end of the film, the guys are talking, they open it, and he's standing there, and he's like, maybe he doesn't even say anything. He just is like looking at them with a creepy face, and the credits start rolling up his face. Anyways.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That is all. Somebody make it happen.
Yeah.
Somebody re-edit this movie and the new Last Voyage and splice them together.
Yes. Or they should do like they did in SpongeBob. They should incorporate Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Nosferatu.
Nosferatu. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Anyways.
Well, thanks again for coming on, Hunter. I had a blast. And funny enough, we've been alluding a little to other films. This one is actually coming out before all of those, but so if anyone's confused about that, those will be coming out in a few weeks here. But
my bad.
I didn't tell you ahead of time. That was my bad. But yeah, make sure to stay posted for that. Those will be out in October. He and I, we watched a lot of these Universal Monster movies. So I had a blast doing that this year. And hopefully we can do that again next year. Because there's like 50 of them. We could do it forever.
Right on.
All right, but thanks again for coming on. And if you want to follow me at Really Old Movies on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all those places, you can find me there. And new episodes are released Saturdays, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then on YouTube, Mondays at 7 p.m. And also Rumble. Again, thank you all so much for listening and watching. And thanks again, Hunter. This has been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. Take care.